Psalm chapter 4. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in stress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. All right. Let's take our call to worship and stand as...
Come, let us sing the song of songs, the glory which to Christ belongs. The hosts of heaven began, the strain worthy, the Lamb, for he was slain. Slain to redeem us by his blood, and makes us kings and priests to God, to cleanse from every sin those stained worthy, the Lamb, for he was slain. Among a thousand hearts and songs, his sacred name fills all our tongues. All power in heaven and earth proclaim worthy, the Lamb, for he was slain. Long as I live and when I die, this song of songs shall be my cry. And while in heaven with him I reign worthy, the Lamb, for he was slain.
Okay, if you would, now turn in the red hymnal to song number 474, Only a Sinner.
Gotten, but what I received, grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase, I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. A sinner saved by grace. Once I was foolish and sin ruled my heart, causing my footsteps from God to depart. Jesus hath found me, happy my case. I now am a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by sin had alarmed me, fearing God's face, but now I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Suffer a sinner whose heart overflows, loving his Savior to tell what he knows. Once more to tell it, would I embrace? I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace.
Open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 10. Just read one verse of Scripture here. Acts 10, verse 33. Immediately, therefore I sent to thee, thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. We'll end our reading there. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our God, Father in heaven, again, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this privilege of gathering together. Lord, cause it not to be a thing we take lightly. Lord, the privilege of gathering together as a people, Lord, to worship thee. Lord, we pray that you would bless us here this morning with your presence. Lord, that you would take the thoughts and cares of this world away just for a moment, Lord. Let us see Christ. Let us rest in him. Lord, for those of our number that are in a time of difficulty, Lord, in sickness and pain and grieving, our people in a time of trouble, Lord, we pray that you would heal. Lord, if you're pleased to do so, that you would comfort your people. Lord, in all things, that you would strengthen us and cause us to look to thee in all things. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings. Above all, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, bless us to know him. Bless us to know more of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, what we pray for ourselves, we pray for our children. Lord, we thank you for these many young ones that you've given us. And Lord, we pray your hand be upon them. Lord, that you would hedge them about in this world in which we live. Lord, that you'd protect and keep them. And Lord, above all things, that you would be merciful to them. Lord, that you'd be pleased to save them. Lord, cause us all to fall at thy feet. And Lord, rest in the Savior. Now again, we pray you'd be with us here this morning. Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy towards us in Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would, again, bless us as we've gathered here this morning. Lord, be with us this morning and Lord, be with us throughout this week. Lord, continue in thy mercies and goodness towards us. Bless us for Christ's sake, we pray. Amen.
my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, His hands the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear Him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one.
Thank you, Drew. Open our Bibles again to Acts chapter 10. Acts 10 will serve as our text this morning. I want us to look at Peter's message to Cornelius. Just a few scriptures here. In John 6:39, our Lord said, "This is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose none." He's not going to lose a one. And then just a few verses before that, He said, "All that the Father hath given me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." In John 10:16, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd." And we see this repeated over and over in God's Word. God brings His sheep to the messenger, or He takes His messenger to the sheep. However He determines to do that, we're going to hear His voice. His sheep are going to hear His voice. Over in Luke 19, our Lord, He passed through Jericho. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. And he was chief among the publicans. He was a rich man. And we read that he sought to see a man named Jesus. Must have been almost like a parade-like atmosphere. There were so many people gathered around, and Zacchaeus was a He wasn't a very tall fellow, so he climbed up in that tree just to see the Lord pass by, just to see what was going on, what was all the fuss about. And the Lord was going to pass by that way. That's all Zacchaeus knew. He knew that was the route that he was going. And we read that when Jesus came to that place, Think what's just in that, in those few words. When he came to the place, he looked up and he saw him. He called him by name and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I must abide in thy house." The very place that one of his sheep is going to hear his voice for the first time. Wouldn't that bless our hearts if that were true this morning? Why are we here? Why are we here this morning? Could it be that the Lord would be pleased to pass by and call one of his sheep? A couple chapters back in Acts chapter 8, there was a eunuch, and he was sitting in his chariot. He was reading God's word. He was reading from the book of Isaiah. He'd been to some kind of a so-called church service somewhere. So maybe it was. And what happened? The Spirit of God called Philip, and he said, "Go and join thyself to that chariot." And Philip's reaction, he ran. We run when there's a sense of urgency, when there's something that we run. "Go join thyself." And Philip ran to him. He ran thither, and Philip preached Christ unto that eunuch. Our Lord sat there at Jacob's well, and a woman of Samaria came to draw water. And our Lord said, "Give me to drink." Started up a conversation, give me to drink. He said, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I give shall be to him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." Over and over and over, the Lord sends his messenger to his people. Or He brings them to the messenger. And in our text this morning, in Acts chapter 10, we read of a man named Cornelius. Look at verse 1 of Acts chapter 10. "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band." And we read that Cornelius was a devout man. He was a good man. He feared God. He gave alms to the people. He prayed to God. You see that there in verse 2? In Matthew 7, our Lord was speaking, but that's not what saves a man, being a good man and giving alms. Those are all admirable traits. Our Lord said this. He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father that is in heaven." Many, many will say unto me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." But evidently, the Lord heard this man's prayer. This certain man named Cornelius. David said this poor man cried. And think about this. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. The Lord heard him. Cornelius is one of God's sheep. Cornelius is one of God's elect. And the Lord laid it on Cornelius' heart to send some men down to Joppa and call for Simon Peter. Look at verse 9 of Acts chapter 10. "On the morrow, the next day, as they went on their journey, Peter went up to the housetop to pray, and the Lord showed Peter a vision." The Lord had prepared Cornelius to hear God's word, and he's going to prepare Peter to preach to him. God told Peter, He revealed to Peter, he three times, he said, don't call anything common or unclean which the Lord hath cleansed. If Christ makes you free, you're free indeed. Free from the law, free from sin, free from death. And God prepared Peter to go to Cornelius, this Gentile. Read that. Look here at Acts 10. Look, beginning with verse 19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you're come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Look at verse 33. We read this for our scripture reading. Listen to Cornelius here. Peter's come to town, and Peter had called together his kinsmen. This message, Cornelius wanted to hear it, but you know what he wanted? He wanted his family to hear it too. He wanted his near kinsmen to hear it, and his countrymen. He wanted his friends. This is good news. He said, I want them to hear this as well. And he said this. He said, therefore, we're all present. We're all here, Peter, before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. We're here to hear the message that God gave you for us. Let me ask you this. Why are we here this morning? Why have we gathered here? Some of you have driven an hour or better to get here. Why? Got up early. It was a pretty morning. Probably a good morning to sit out on the porch and drink coffee. Why are you here? Why are we here? Huh? Is it habit? Is it that's Sunday? That's what we do. Is it tradition? It's what everybody in the family did. So that's what we do on Sunday. Huh? Cornelius, speaking for himself and for his family and his countrymen, he said, we're here to hear a message. We're here to hear what God has laid on your heart for us, Peter. I have the responsibility, as I stand before you here this morning, of being true to God's word, of preaching the gospel to you. Every man that stands in this place carries that burden. But we all have the responsibility to hear as we've gathered here together. Necessity is laid upon me to preach. Woe is unto me. That's what the scripture says. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe is unto all of us if we don't hear, if we don't listen. We're here to hear. And we're not here to hear man's opinion. We're not here to discuss social issues. We're here to hear all things commanded of God. Our desire is to feed on the true bread of heaven, to feed on Christ as we've gathered here this morning. And I want us to look this morning at the message that God gave Peter to declare to Cornelius and all that were present there with him that day. Look at verse 34. Peter said, God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't... Remember those things we read about Cornelius earlier? He was a just man and all those good things about Peter, or all those good things about Cornelius. Peter doesn't lead with that, does he? No, he says this. He said that God is no respecter of persons. Peter, those are good things we've heard. Or Cornelius, those are good things we've heard about you. But God's no respecter of person. Those things mean nothing in the sight of Almighty God. He doesn't commend him for being just and devout. He just says this, God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't respect us because we're Jew or Gentile. He doesn't respect us because we're rich or poor. We read, neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, male nor female. We're all one. One in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writing to the Colossians, that's what he said. Neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and he's in all. God is no respecter of persons. Verse 35, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. He that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. He that worketh righteousness. Listen, there is only one that is righteous. That has to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one that is righteous, and that's him. 1 John 1:21, the Lord Jesus Christ said, if any man sin, this was said of him, if any man sin, we have an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the righteous. His name, that's his name is the Lord, our righteousness. Over in Jeremiah 23, I won't have you turn there, but that's what's said. His name is the Lord our righteousness. And here's an amazing thing. Just a few chapters later in Jeremiah 33, he refers to his church. She shall be called the Lord our righteousness. His bride, Abby bears my name. Our wives bear our name. His church bears his name. She shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Look at verse 36. Again, Acts chapter 10. What do we preach? Huh? What did Peter preach? See verse 36 there? The word which God sent. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Word which God sent. The written word. The written word which declares the living word. This word, God's word, declares the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God. He's the author of it. The word of Christ. He's the sum and substance of it. The word of salvation. Christ and Christ alone. The word of righteousness. He's the very righteousness of God. The word of faith. We read, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of truth. The word of reconciliation. Peace and reconciliation found in Christ and Christ alone. Not the word of man, but the word of God. What man says lasts for just a little while. But we read that the word of God endureth forever. This is the means by which he's pleased to reveal his gospel. We declare his word. What does the scripture say? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, we read, if they speak not according to his word, it's because there's no light in them. Back to our text, verse 36. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace. peace by Jesus Christ. We preach peace. Not peace where there is no peace, but peace by Jesus Christ. Peace by the blood of Christ. It's the gospel of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. That peace which was broken by man. When we broke God's law, when Adam fell by Adam's sin, that which could not be restored by man. By nature, we don't have the desire. We don't have the ability, and we don't have the desire to seek peace. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is our peace. Look again in Acts chapter 10. Very end there. End of verse 36. We declare He is Lord of all. It doesn't say that we make Him Lord, does it? No. No, He's declared to be Lord. All things, all nations, and as such He is sovereign. He is sovereign in all things. He's sovereign in creation. He's sovereign in providence, and He's sovereign in salvation. And one day men can raise their fists and shout and carry on like they do right now, but one day every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is what? That He's Lord. To the glory of God the Father. He's not a beggar. He's not an example. He's not a frustrated reformer, but that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we'll do that to the glory of God the Father, for His glory. Now turn back again to Acts chapter 10. Look at verse 37. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all things He did, both in the land of the Jews, in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. We declare Jesus of Nazareth. We really can't put this in context, but He was a man. We say that, but I don't think we have any idea what we're saying. That God could be made a man. They said this. The people around Him, they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Isn't this the kid that just lives down the street? I mean, think about that. Almighty God came down to dwell on this earth. Jesus of Nazareth, a name of contempt. They said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And He was a man. And as a man, he knew what it was like to be hungry. Almighty God. In human flesh. He knew what it was like to be hungry. He knew what it was like to be thirsty, to grow tired, to weep. How He identified with his people. The scriptures say we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we. But here's the difference. Without sin. He was perfect. He is perfect, yet without sin. You still have Acts 10. Look at verse 39 again here. Jesus, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you've taken and by wicked hands crucified and slain. The Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. He suffered and died in the place of His people. We declare the Redeemer. We declare Him as our substitute. We declare Christ crucified. He had to die. The Scriptures say the wages of sin is death. And Jesus Christ, we saw this a little bit, I hope we did this morning. Jesus Christ, who was made sin. He was made to be sin. God made Him, made the Lord Jesus Christ to be sin for us, for His people, for His church, that we might be made the very righteousness of God in Him. Let's look on here in Acts 10. Look at verse 40. That's not the end of the story, is it? Him, God raised up. Him, God raised up the third day and showed Him openly. What do we declare? We declare a risen, successful Savior in whom the Father is well pleased. Jesus Christ, whom God raised from the dead. Victorious over death, victorious over sin, victorious over the grave. Christ rose from the dead. He ascended and presented Himself to God as representative for His people. And as a result, consider what He did for us. Raised to immortal life. Our resurrection is secure in Him. In John 14, verse 19, our Lord said, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. And because I live, ye live also." Life in Him. And listen, He's seated at the right hand of God. The Scriptures say this, as He is, so are we. Right now, in this world. Verse 42. And He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Preach to the people. Preach to them that He was ordained of God to be judge of the quick and dead. The Scriptures declare that He's appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man. That man. Whom He hath ordained, whereas He hath given assurance unto all men that He raised Him. He's not in the grave. He raised Him from the dead. Aren't we thankful? Aren't we thankful that there is therefore, now, right now, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Well, let's read on in our text, verse 43. To Him give all the prophets witness that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive the remission of sins through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the prophets give witness. This entire book, men get hung up in stories. This book is about Him. This book declares who He is. Listen. Our Lord said this. He said, Moses wrote of me. Moses spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the seed of woman. When we read about that ark was Christ. The Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. The serpent lifted up. What did the people do? They'd been bitten. Death had passed on. Sin and death passed. They were dying. Hold that serpent up. What was the command? Look and live. The Lord Jesus Christ, He was raised up on the cross. We look to Him. We rest in Him. What did it say? All that looked, lived. all that rested in it? Dead. The city of refuge? It points to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the kinsman redeemer. He's that ram caught in the thicket. All the prophets give witness that through His name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood, His power, whosoever, male, female, rich, poor, whatever people or nation, God has a people, a redeemed people out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. What does it say? That we say. All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Whosoever believeth in him, in Christ, shall have remission of sin. Now quickly, look at verse 44 here, through the end of the chapter. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, and as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and prayed that they would tarry certain days. Look at the results. Look at the results here. The word is preached. God's word is preached. And while Peter yet spake the words, the Holy Ghost fell on them. The Spirit of God was present. The Spirit of God giving light, giving life. It fell on them which heard. He opened their ears, enabled them to hear. They heard the word. Oh, we'd have ears to hear. He would open our ears to hear. And look, verse 45, they believed. They heard the word and they believed. And they glorified Christ. That's what's His glory. That's what this is. It's for His glory. To glorify Him. They glorified God. In verse 48, they were baptized. They confessed Christ in believers' baptism. Aren't we thankful? Aren't we thankful that the work of salvation is His? Boy, we do enough to goof it up, don't we? It's His work. It's His work. And as a result of that, the glory is His. Not man's. Glory to God. Every time we gather together, every time God's people gather together, may we be here for that purpose, to hear. To hear His word. To hear what He has to say. Listen. Listen to that again. They believed. Christ, who is our righteousness. Huh? That's what Cornelius heard. When Peter preached to Cornelius, Christ, who is our righteousness. Christ, the word of God. Christ, who is our peace. Jesus Christ, who is Lord, declared to be Lord, Jesus of Nazareth, He that was made flesh and dwelt among us, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they slew and hung on a tree, Christ crucified, our sacrifice for sin, our substitute, Jesus Christ, whom God raised from the dead, in whom He was well pleased. And it's through Him that our sin is put away. Put away. To hear of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. All right. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, again, we thank You for Your word. Lord, bless us with the hearing of Your word. Cause us to cease from our works. Cease from our activity. Lord, just rest in Christ. Rest in Christ and Christ alone, who is our salvation. Lord, bless Your word as it goes forth. Bless it to our hearts. And Lord, in all things, cause us to to give thee the glory. Lord, for it is thine, truly it is thine. Again, bless us this day. Watch over and keep us. Lord, we pray for our pastor and Janet as they return home. Lord, that you'd give them journey and mercies. And Lord, that you would, again, and bless us with your word. Which in Christ's name we pray and give thee thanks. Amen. Brother Sean.
Would please turn to song number 269, Under His Wings. And please stand.
Under His wings I am safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust Him and know He will keep me. He has redeemed me and I am His child. Under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under His wings, what a refuge in sorrow. How the heart yearningly turns to His rest. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, there I find comfort and there I am blessed. Under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under His wings, oh what precious enjoyment, there will I hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide.